In reality, I have a 5-page remarks here, but being the 5th speaker, all the first 4 pages were engulfed by what they said, and I'm left with the last page. And the last page would just say, "Thank you very much. Good afternoon to everybody." So I don't know where to start with. And of course, another thing is, I would like, ma'am, in behalf of my fellow resource speakers, may I welcome the chair of the Commission of Human Rights, the Honorable Loretta Ann Rosales. The red baiting is an issue that has been in the past, and I think this is one thing that we have already taken into consideration as a matter of a concern in our efforts as far as IPSB Bayanihan is all about. IPSB Bayanihan is the Internal Peace and Security Plan Bayanihan. This is the overall plan of the Armed Forces of the Philippines, which was undertaken not only by the AFP, or rather was prepared not only by the AFP, but in consultation and coordination with other stakeholders. Now, in order for us to understand what the AFP is undertaking right now, is for us to absorb or come into knowledge of what IPSB Bayanihan is all about. I am saying this because of a dictum or a saying that our feet were purposely done forward. Because if you did it that way, it's so hard to walk backwards. So what we want to do is put it forward really and go forward in a manner that human rights is advocated or respected, but without looking or forgetting what are the things of the past. But the things of the past are enormous. It dates back to so many years. We were talking about the history of the insurgency. It dates back in the 1950s. We weren't all alive that time, except for one or two here. And I dare not look. Just to be on record, that was the statement of Dr. Ao, not mine. But the thing is, jokingly aside, is that we like to move forward, the Armed Forces of the Philippines, and that is the reason for the IPSB Bayanihan, wherein the two major strategic approaches of IPSB Bayanihan is on the whole-of-nation approach and the people-centered approach. I need not explain thoroughly what the whole-of-nation approach is all about. This forum is a clear example of what the whole of nation of approach is all about, wherein we all gather together in order for the common aspiration of peace, security, and development in with due respect to the protection and respect for human rights. And that is the reason why the other approach that we have in IPSB Bayanihan is on the people-centered approach, which gives primary concern or primordial concern on the human security framework and the respect for human rights, the international humanitarian law, and more importantly also is the rule of law. Why do we put the three things together? Because these are the things that would govern, as we are like to have our soldiers do on the ground, the things that should govern their respective activities or operations on the ground. Respect for human rights, adherence to the international humanitarian law, and abidance by the rule of law. Going into the rule of law, there are now recent promulgations or laws, that bills that were signed into law. An example of which was RA 9745, the anti-torture law, the IRR of which was issued last December 10, 2010, last year. The Honorable Chair was there to be the spearheading the issuance of the IRR. RA 9851, which is the IHL law, or the law punishing crimes against international humanitarian law, genocide, and other war crimes, and other crimes against humanity. And of the recent is the August 23, 2011 ratification of the Rome Statute for the International Criminal Court. These are the things that we'd like to bring down now to the soldiers on the ground. Not for them to completely and verbatimly understand what the whole law is all about, but more of for it to govern their respective actions and govern also their respective inactions. RA 9851 talks about command responsibility or superior responsibility. There is a pending bill right now in the Senate and in the House about superior responsibility. And this tackles everything on the matter. The thing is, red baiting or labeling is a matter really of serious concern. This should not be the one governing our respective operations. If someone is to be arrested, he must not be arrested by virtue of his political beliefs, ideological beliefs, as we were discussing with Mr. Joshua Mata yesterday in the forum, ideological. It must not be based on that. It must be based on a factual violation of law. Let's say, illegal possession of firearms. Let's say, conduct of grave threats and extortion. The thing is, we want to eradicate arrests or any actions that would be on the basis of red baiting or labeling. It is not simply, it must not be simply undertaken as such. The thing that are being pronounced right now as far as violations are concerned is something that really is of concern to the armed forces of the Philippines. It has been pronounced by our chief of staff that there is zero tolerance for human rights violation. And this we are undertaken in order to bring to a just result. Those are not my words. I borrowed that just result thing from the chair. To put a just result into these cases or incidents of violations of human rights. But the thing is, there must be also due process. The due process of law. And that is why we have been encouraging in our partnership and in our collaboration with all stakeholders that cases or incidents of human rights violation must be brought to the courts. Easier said than done. It's not really the case. Probably in Negros where Ipon is there, it's not just like that easy to bring a case in court by virtue of the things of documentary evidence and things like that. I'm not a lawyer, but on the matters of putting the whole charges so that it will hold ground in court. But what we would like to pronounce here as an institution, as a security sector, that once these are placed in court, they will never be taken away from the jurisdiction of the court. Should there be any order given by a court having jurisdiction on these cases, the AFP will be subservient to these orders issued by the court. The thing is that it is also a fora for us, so to speak, to defend ourselves. Not to defend ourselves by saying, no, we did not commit that, no, we did not do that, but defend it is the institution on a legal process within the courts of law. The cases mentioned by Mr. or Sir Max here is valid. I've been telling him a while ago during the coffee break, yes, but that is also the other side of the coin. A question was raised, why was there traffic in the first place? But the other points of the investigation too is there was an encounter. Encounter and strafing are two different things. Strafing definitely would be something violative from the point of view of the armed forces of the Philippines. But the thing is, who then decides that strafing was the correct incident that happened? Or the encounter was the correct thing that really happened. It's not for us to say. It's not for me to say. But it is the court of law who can say that through the litigation process of this. Red baiting is also not going to be allowed simply because of beliefs or convictions. You can shout outside and to the whole world that you don't like this government, you don't like the president and things like that. That is okay. But when you bear arms is a different story. Let's recall, a cell site was burned and bombed. Was it burned or bombed because in the furtherance of a cause to destroy the telecommunication facility in the area? No. The cell site was burnt because they did not accept paying the extortion money. A construction equipment, a bulldozer perhaps, or a mixer or something like that, have been burnt. Is it because to destroy the transportation or the road network to hamper economic reasons in the area? No, the construction firm did not pay. And there are many things like that. Were the four BJMP abducted? Were in the furtherance of certain cause or anything? Remember, in the common it is a common article in the old protocols that judgments cannot be made by a non-constituted court. It is in all the common Article 3. The thing what I'm trying to say here is that even if you are a bomber or an arsonist or whatever, you have rights. And that is the reason why we would earnestly and make a pronouncement by the AFIC through this statement that this will not be condoned nor tolerated. We will abide and collaborate with the necessary courts, with the necessary civil society organizations or the Commission of Human Rights in order to look into these cases and be able to put a just result. I do not want to sound defensive on any case at B simply because it is going to be a lot of arguments. But what we can pronounce is that we will be subservient to the rule of law. We will be subservient to the international humanitarian law. We will be advocates of human rights. That was my thank you statement, actually, the last part of my speech. But the thing is, let me put into thing that we have started to undergo this paradigm shift since we started with IPSB Bayanihan. IPSB Bayanihan tomorrow will be exactly 10 months because it was started in January 1, 2011. This 10 months has been a grueling 10 months because of the things that we have to change. Our rules of engagement, our doctrine of command responsibility that we have to bring into the commander's responsibility at whatever level of command, that he must not be remiss on the doctrine of command responsibility. It's a whole system, and I don't know who made mention it. Bigyan po natin or give it a chance for us to evolve into making this. But as I assure you that we go forward into this advocacy for a culture of human rights, the AFP will never turn its back on the cases of the past that are in court, going to be placed in court or submitted to court and going to be investigated. And we will cooperate with anybody at B regarding these matters. Thank you very much and a pleasant afternoon to everybody.